Okay, welcome back. I think we have pretty much everyone here, so we will wrap up today's discussion groups and we'll call Brother Ken Ford to do that for us.
It's time for the most important time of the day. There's about seven most important times of the day, by the way. This is where we note it. Later on, we pray about it. So take a few minutes, reflect upon what you've learned about forgiveness, about restoring the lost, about the need to confess our sins, about the mercy and the grace of God. Force yourself, compel yourself, ask yourself, what is this supposed to mean in my life? God has not brought us to this youth conference just to talk. So hopefully we were able to see in our discussion groups this morning what a wonderful blessing forgiveness is. And oh, how simple it is to receive. We don't have to go out and do anything to obtain it, as the scribes and the Pharisees taught. All we have to do is be willing to get down on our knees, either physically but at least mentally, and approach God, confessing our sins with a broken and contrite spirit, and repentance, and repudiating sin as a way of life, and He has promised to forgive us. It was such a contrast, the truth that Jesus taught about forgiveness, and how easily it is to be obtained, and the impossibility of forgiveness as taught by the scribes and the Pharisees. It's a wonderfully simple arrangement, all made possible by the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important to understand this simple arrangement when we are at work appealing to the lost. God hasn't made it a long and difficult and arduous road for them to travel to come back. It's a very, very simple road they need follow. There aren't large hoops. There isn't a great deal of embarrassment. There isn't a long period of time. God forgave the prodigal son in the parable as soon as the prodigal son came to the point of realizing that the direction he was going in was wrong, and he wanted to change his life and make a wholesale change. Don't ever lose sight of this parable, young people. God's mercy can overcome sin. It really can. As strong and as powerful and as beast-like as our human nature is, and its ability to weigh us down and overcome us and be victorious over us, God's mercy is greater than the power of sin if we will conform our lives to His righteous requirements. Don't ever let sin be the ultimate victor in your life. It may overcome you from time to time. It overcomes all of us from time to time. But don't ever be left in despair. One of the many wonderful principles and blessings that emerges from these parables in Luke 15 is not only can we go out and help find the lost, but when we are the lost, we can be found and we can be recovered. We can be redeemed and we can be reconciled. God never wants a son or daughter to ever give up, to ever become so overwhelmed by sin that they believe they are no longer savable. That was one of the lessons being taught by this extreme situation of the prodigal son. We must all still repent when we're in those situations. Do you notice how the prodigal son quotes Psalm 51 when he says, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. That's where his mind is, parable though it may be. Right back to Psalm 51, quoting David's identical spirit. It's a changed son who returns home. Not only has he confessed his sin and repented and been converted, he's willing to spend the rest of his life serving others. It's a wonderfully changed son that comes home. Exactly what discipleship is all about. But the prodigal son parable also shows us that repentance is necessary and that God will forgive us. But if we don't go through those steps, like the older son in the parable, you see, there's no forgiveness extended to the older son in the parable. That's left in limbo. As your studies probably showed, that, you know, Jesus left that at the doorstep of the religious leaders. How are you going to respond? If you respond like the prodigal son and acknowledge your faults, forgiveness is readily available to you. But the parable teaches if we don't go through those steps, then forgiveness is not forthcoming. We said in our comments last night how eager God is to forgive. He loves to forgive. He lives to forgive. And is not that spirit represented or illustrated in the Father and the parable of the prodigal son? Eager with joy to see his lost son return home. If God knows even when the sparrows fall to the ground, then imagine the love he has for us and that he has for his sons and daughters when they go through this process of returning to him. And imagine the joy when a wayward son or daughter declares that they will no longer be enslaved to sin. So the first part of God's character is his willingness to forgive. The second part that we don't want to miss is the absolute joy. And that's how Jesus portrays it. There's no other way to look at it. Don't walk away from our study today and think that God is some stoic, supreme being who sits there with a clipboard. Dan Burke, got him back. Ken Stiles, got him back. That's not how he works. Joy is how it's presented in Scripture. And the joy that we see in the Father illustrated in this parable also tells us one more thing. You know, you have to sometimes read between the lines. Imagine the broken heart of the Father when he saw his son walk away from the house. Said, I'm no longer interested in what's going on in this house. This is where I want to go. I want to go out to the world. I want to pursue the life of the world and the lust of the world and seek my pleasure and my happiness there. It would have broken the Father's heart, because you can't have the kind of joy that is demonstrated in this parable over a wayward son who returns without also seeing the broken heart that's created and that results from the wayward son that departs. We know God was actively involved in the wayward son, even when he had left the house, the father was, because of the providential famine that was brought about. He was bringing the son to the point of desiring the corn husks, the pods, because the father realized that only at that point would the son have a change in his life. There's a loving scene depicted in this parable. I don't know what your view is towards Bible marking, but please, if you don't ever Bible mark anything else, take a pencil out somewhere by verse 20 and make some kind of mark. Because there are two things happening simultaneously in the parable, and it isn't coincidental. As the son is confessing his sins to his father, the father is falling upon the neck of the son, proclaiming his love for the son. That's the picture the parable paints of the joy of God when a wayward son or daughter repents. That scene, that tender and loving scene of the father expressing his compassion and falling upon his son's neck and kissing him, all the while the son is confessing his sin. It's exactly what forgiveness is intended to bring us to. It's exactly why God extends the forgiveness. He loves to forgive, and it's depicted in that scene. It's exactly how God responds to the prodigal son. The sinner is genuine in his approach to his father with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And the father with great joy responds with compassion, love and forgiveness. All the past is dismissed as though it had never happened. The son can't even complete his confession. The father says, I know it. You don't have to complete the sentences. Such was the joy. The father was ecstatic over the situation. The father's response, of course, in the parable is God's response. It's how God wants us to understand his reaction to a prodigal son or daughter. It's possible in your discussion groups you realize, as that son, that prodigal son, sat among the pigs, and deemed in his mind there is a change that is needed. It was because he knew back home there was grace and mercy and a man who was long-suffering and full of loving kindness and truth. It was because of those characteristics that the prodigal son was drawn back to the house of his father, because he knew he would be received. If that son was run by that house was run by the older son, The younger son would never have been drawn back to that house. But because of the loving, forgiving character of his father, the prodigal son was drawn back. That's the picture God wants us to take. He's ready to forgive. He's willing to forgive. It's his character to forgive. And you see, within the ecclesia then, in our attempts to manifest God's character, that is how our ecclesias should view those who have been overcome by sin. Providing that same encouragement, that same incentive, that same willing, loving, forgiving spirit. The person must still go through the right steps. No one can shortcut Psalm 51. It's an Old Testament requirement, it's a New Testament requirement. But once those doors have been passed through, full embracing. God's joy that we'll finish with, his joy over the repentance, is reflected throughout the parables. I'll just list for you. You may have already done it yourself. But listen to these words. Verse 5, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing, is the description of the shepherd who found the lost sheep. Verse 6, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Verse 9, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Verse 32, it was meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. This is an insight into heaven, into the mind of God, into the work of the angels. I'm not saying it isn't something that literally happens, but however God experiences joy, however the angels and God experience joy, it's a very living principle. They genuinely rejoice. They witness all the sadness and the wickedness that the world reflects, and for this there is no rejoicing. But when they see a lost sheep return to the fold, or a lost son return to the household of faith, there is great rejoicing and gladness of heart, and it is a time to be merry.